Intentions, intentions and actions only that counted. Now our strength was renewed, we were going home. The countryside became greener, more fertile, and at last we came in sight of the gleaming gold of the Potala and our own Chakpori, just a little higher than the peak. As animals, ours were in a hurry to get to their own home in Cho, and they pulled so hard that we had difficulty in restraining them. We rode up the Iron Mountain with joy. Now began our round of receptions. But first we had to see the inmost one. His reaction was illuminating. You have done what I should like to do, seen what I ardently desire to see. The less the freedom, the higher the rank, the more a servant. And I would give it all to see what you have seen. The Lama Minya Dondup, as leader of the expedition, was given the scarf of honor, with the red triple knots. I, because I was the youngest member, was similarly honored. I well knew that an award at both ends embraced everything in between. Tribute special herbs, and to give me the opportunity of seeing other districts, Drepung, Sura, and Gandan. Thence we went farther afield, to Dorje Thag, and to Sami, both on the river Tsangpo, 40 miles away. We also visited Samden Lamazuri, between the Dumi and Yamdok lakes, 14,000 feet above sea level. Course of our own river, the Kaiachu happiness. All the time my instruction had been continued while we rode, when we stopped, and when we rested. Mission for the Lama degree was near, and so we returned once again to Chakpori in order that I should not be distracted. Chapter 16 Lamahood. A considerable amount of training was now given to me in the art of astral traveling, where the spirit, or ego, leaves the body and remains connected to life on earth only by the silver cord. Many people find it difficult to believe that we travel in this way. Everyone does, when they sleep. Involuntary, in the East Lamas can do it when fully conscious, thus they have a complete memory of what they have done, what they have seen and where they have been. The art, and so when they return to wakefulness they think they have had a dream. This astral journeying. In England it is alleged that witches can fly. Sticks are not necessary, except as a means of rationalizing what people do not want to believe. In the USA the spirits of the red men are said to fly. In all countries, everywhere, there is a buried knowledge of such things. To do it, so can anyone be. Telepathy is another art which is easy to master. It is going to be used as a stage turn. This art is now gaining some recognition. Hypnotism is yet another art of the East. It out major operations on hypnotized patients, such as leg amputations and those of an equally serious nature. Feels nothing, suffers nothing, and awakens in better condition through not having to also suffer the effects of the orthodox anesthetics. Hypnotism is being used to a limited extent in England. Invisibility is another matter. It is beyond more than the very, very few. A noise, a quick movement or a flashing color? Noises and quick actions rouse people, make them notice one. Easily seen, nor is a familiar type or class of person who brings them ill. Often people will say that no one has been here, no one at all, yet their mail will have been brought. How? By an invisible man. Or one who is such a familiar sight that he is not seen, or perceived. Conscience. To attain a state of invisibility one must suspend action, and also suspend one's brain waves. The function, think, any other person nearby becomes telepathically aware, sees, and so the state of invisibility is lost. There are men in Tibet who can become invisible at will, but they are able to shield their brain waves. Accomplished, and sometimes is, solely for the technical exercise involved. It is a clumsy method of moving around. The effort involved is considerable. Ill adept uses astral traveling, which is truly a matter of the utmost simplicity. When I was wanted to do something unpleasant, but this was denied me. Said before, was I possessed of musical talents. Wrath of the music master, but that wrath was as naught to the commotion I caused when I tried to play the cymbals, thinking that anyone could use those things, and quite accidentally caught a poor unfortunate monk on each side of his head. In the Western world, it is, of course, a very great science and one which can improve a human almost beyond belief. My opinion is that yoga is not suitable for Western people without very considerable modification. We are taught the postures from the very earliest age. Our limbs, skeleton, and muscles are trained to yoga, perhaps of middle age. Who try some of these postures can definitely harm themselves. Native teacher, One thoroughly trained in male and female anatomy, if harm is to be avoided, not merely the postures can do harm, but the breathing exercises also. Again, unless one has a wise and experienced teacher, such exercises can be extremely harmful, if not fatal. The weight of the body, not levitation, and race at high speed for hours and hours over the ground, hardly touching the earth in passing. Evening is the best time, when there are stars upon which to gaze, and the terrain must be monotonous, with nothing to break the semi-trance state. He visualizes his destination, keeps it constantly before his third eye, and unceasingly recites the appropriate mantra. He will race and reach his destination untired. This system has only one advantage over astral traveling. When traveling by the latter, one moves in the spirit state and so cannot move material objects, cannot, for example, carry one's belongings. The Ajapa, as one calls the racer, can carry his normal load, but he labors under disadvantages in his turn. Was Tibetan adepts to sit naked on ice, 17,000 feet or so above sea level, and keep hot, so hot that the ice is melted and the adept freely perspires. Listener, quite seriously, asked me, with the tide in or out, ever tried to lift a heavy object when your lungs were empty of air? Hold your breath and lift with ease, or angry, take a deep breath, as deep as you can, and hold it for 10 seconds. Exhale slowly, repeat 3 times at least, and you will find that your heartbeats are slowed up and you feel calm. As a prisoner of the communists, ease at their worst, our gentlemen compared to the communists, oath at their worst. The time had now come when I was to take the actual examination for lamahood. This I had to be blessed by the Dalai Lama. Every year he blesses every monk in Tibet, individually, not in bulk as does, for example, the Pope of Rome. By rank, he touches on the head with one hand, and placing 2 hands on the person's head. For the first time he placed both hands on me and said in a low voice, "You are doing well, my boy. Do even better at your examination. The faith we have placed in you." 3 days before my 16th birthday, I presented myself for examination together with about 14 other candidates. The examination boxes seemed to be smaller, or perhaps it was that I was bigger. Arms had to be bent as there was not enough room to stretch them straight. The top with my outstretched hands, again with my arms above my head. The back wall was about twice my height. There was no roof, so at least we had ample air. Once again we were searched before entering, and all we were allowed to take in were our wooden bowl, our rosary, and writing material. Vigilators satisfied, we were led one by one to a box, told to enter, and after we had done so the door was shut and a bar put across it, and the head examiner came and fixed a huge seal, so that the door could not be opened. A trap hatch some 7 inches square could be opened only from the outside. Through this we were passed examination papers at the beginning of each day, of as much as we wanted, by merely calling Po Cha Kesho, "Bring tea." As we were not allowed out for any purpose whatever, we did not drink too much. That box was for 10 days. I was taking the herbal examination, anatomy, a subject of which I had already a very good knowledge, and divinity. Among the endless days, the 6th day brought a change, and a commotion. Nearby box came howls and screams, odd, soothing murmurs, and the screams subsided to a sobbing undertone. Metaphysics. Yoga. 9 branches of it. Kundalini yoga gives one psychic power, clairvoyance, and similar powers. La yoga teaches mastery over the mind. One of its offshoots is to remember permanently a thing once read or heard. Hatha yoga prepares one for transcendental consciousness and wisdom. Samadhi yoga leads to supreme illumination and enables one to glimpse the purpose and plan beyond life on earth, such as to help others in some particular way. It cannot be discussed in a book of this nature, and certainly my knowledge of the English language is inadequate to do justice to such illustrious subjects. The hen in a box. But even 10-day-long examinations have to end, and as the Lama collected the last papers on the 10th night, he was greeted with smiles of delight. It was easy to sleep, but I did worry about the degree of pass. I had been commanded to be high on the final list. In the morning the seals were broken from the doors, the bars were lifted, and we had to clean our examination boxes before being able to leave the ordeal. Then came 2 days of judo in which we tried all our holds, and made each other unconscious with our anesthetic holds. 2 days more were devoted to an oral examination on the written papers, in which the examiners questioned us about our weak points only. Let me emphasize that each candidate was orally examined for 2 whole days each week, during which we reacted according to our temperaments, and then the results were announced. To my noisily expressed joy, I was again at the top of the list, the best teacher of all, and I knew that the Dalai Lama would be pleased with my teacher and with me. Later, when the Lama Minyadondup was instructing me in his room, the door was thrust open, and a panting messenger, tongue lolling and eyes staring, burst in upon us. A stick of messages. From the inmost one, he gasped, to the Honorable Medical Lama Tuesday Lobsang Rampa, with that he took from his robe the letter, wrapped in the silken scarf of greeting. With all speed, Honorable Sir, I have rushed here. Relieved of his burden, he turned and dashed out even faster, in search of Chang. Studies? More work? It looked very large, and very official. He blamed for not doing this or that. Or so my first thoughts went. The letter, scarf and all, to him. Envelope, or outer wrapping. 2 folded sheets were inside. These he spread open and read, deliberately being slow about it to tease me further. See him without delay. That means now, Lobsang. It says here that I have to go as well. But and told him that we had to go to the Potala to see the inmost one. The beak, eh? He was at the Norbulinga yesterday. You have the letter to say which it is. It must be very official. In the courtyard monk grooms were waiting with our horses. We mounted and clattered down the mountain path. Worth the fuss of trying to sit on a horse. The one advantage was that the horses would carry us up the steps almost to the top of the peak. Attendants were waiting for us. As soon as we had dismounted, our horses were led away, and we were hurried off to the inmost one's private quarters. I entered alone and made my prostrations and scarf presentations with you. I am very pleased with Minya for his part in your success. I have read all your examination papers myself. That means, so I have been told, is that I have a somewhat misplaced sense of humor had broken out in answering the examination questions, because some questions simply invite that sort of answer. Read my thoughts, for he laughed outright and said, yes, you have a sense of humor at the wrong times. But, a long pause, during which I feared the worst, then, I enjoyed every word. Kandar, my guide, was sent for and the inmost one gave instructions concerning my further training. I was to undergo the ceremony of the little death. I was to visit, with the Lama Minyadondup, other Lamasaris, and I was to study with the breakers of the dead. In nature, the Dalai Lama gave me a written script in order that I could keep my own status. Reason for the body being discarded may be discovered. He is also to take possession of any body or parts of a body that he may require for his studies. Advisable to write some more about the Tibetan views on death. Body is nothing more than a shell, a material covering for the immortal spirit. To us, a dead body is worth less than an old, worn-out suit of clothes. Case of a person dying normally, that is, not by sudden unexpected violence, we consider the process to be like this. The body is diseased, faulty, and has become so uncomfortable for the spirit that no further lessons can be learned. It withdraws and exteriorizes outside the flesh body and very clearly be seen by a clairvoyant. At the moment of death, the cord joining the physical and spirit bodies, the silver cord of the Christian Bible, thins and parts, and the spirit drifts off. Death has then taken place. But birth into a new life, for the cord is similar to the umbilical cord which is severed to launch a newborn baby to a separate existence. Force is extinguished from the head. In Bible is referred to as the golden bowl. But I believe there is a reference to lest the silver cord be severed, and the golden bowl be shattered. 3 days, we say, is the time it takes for a body to die, for all physical activity to cease, and the spirit, soul, or ego, to become quite free of its fleshly envelope. Double formed during the life of a body. Double can become a ghost. Probably everyone has looked at a strong light, and on turning away apparently saw the light still, and the etheric double remaining at death is similar to the light one sees after looking at a strong source, or, in electrical terms, It is like a strong residual magnetic field therek which forms a ghost and haunts the familiar scenes. A miser may have such an attachment for his money bags that he has his whole focus upon them. At death probably his last thought will be of fright concerning the fate of his money, so in his dying moment he adds to the strength of his etheric feel somewhat uncomfortable in the small hours of the night, and so is after his money again. Those ghost is probably very cross that his spirit hands cannot get a grip on that money. Lessons of life. The etheric or magnetic body which is made by each of us by our lusts, greeds, and strong passions of various kinds is the spirit body, the immortal soul. Our lamest belief and not necessarily the orthodox Buddhist belief has to be disposed of, his etheric has to be dissolved, and his spirit has to be helped on the road to the world of spirit. The ancient Egyptians also believe in the etheric double, in the guides of the dead, and in the world of spirit. The adept had no need of such help, but the ordinary man or woman, or trapper, had to be guided the whole way through. To describe what happens, honorable master of death sent for me. Time you studied the practical methods of freeing the soul, Lobsang. You shall accompany me. We walked down long corridors, down slippery steps, and into the trapper's quarters. Here, in a hospital room, an elderly monk was approaching the road we all must take. Feeble. His strength was failing and his auric colors were fade as I watched. At all costs he had to be kept conscious until there was no more life to maintain that state. I approaching the release from toils of the flesh, old man, heed my words that you may choose the easy path. Your feet grow cold. Your life is edging up, closer and closer to its final escape. Compose your mind, old man, there is naught to fear. Your legs, and your sight grows dim. Waning life. Compose your mind, old man, for there is naught to fear in the escape of life to the greater reality. The shadows of eternal night creep upon your sight, and your breath is rasping in your throat. Draws near for the release of your throat. Release of your spirit to enjoy the pleasures of the afterworld. Your time of release is near. The Lama all the time was stroking the dying man from the collarbone to the top of his head in a way which has been proved to free the spirit painlessly. He was being told of the pitfalls on the way, and how to avoid them. It was exactly described, the route which has been mapped by those telepathic lamas who have passed over, and continue to talk by telepathy even from the next world. It has gone, old man, and your breath is failing within you, your body grows cold and the sounds of this life are no longer heard by your ears. Self in peace, old man, for your death is now upon you. Joy will be yours. Minish even more, and finally faded away. A explosive sound was uttered by the Lama in an age-old ritual to completely free the struggling spirits gathered in a cloud-like mass, swirling and twisting as if in confusion, then forming into a smoke-like duplicate of the body to which it was still attached by the silver cord. The cord thinned, and as a baby is born when the umbilical cord is severed, so was the old man born into the next life. A wisp, and parted like a drifting cloud in the sky, or incense smoke in a temple, the form glided off the to guide the spirit on the first stage of its journey. Are severed. You are in Bardo. Go your way and we will go ours, follow the route prescribed. Leave this, the world of illusion, and enter into the greater reality. You are dead. Continue your way forward. The clouds of incense rolled up, soothing the troubled air with its peaceful vibrations. Drums were carrying out a rolling mutter. From some high point on the Lamasery roof, a deep-toned trumpet sent its message crashing over the countryside. From the corridors outside came all the sounds of vigorous life, the sush-sush of felt boots and, from somewhere, the grumbling roar of a yak. In this little room, was silence, the silence of death. Only the telepathic instructions of the Lama resurface of the room's quiet and had gone on his long round of existences, profiting by his lessons in this life, maybe, but destined to continue until he reached Buddhahood by long, long effort. The correct lotus posture and sent for those who prepare the bodies. Sent for others to continue the telepathic instruction of the departed spirit. For 3 days this continued, 3 days during which relays of lamas carried out their duties. Game, He was from the disposers of the dead colony where the Linker Road branches to Dichensong. He doubled it up into a tight circle and wrapped it in white cloth shoulders and strode off. Hesitation, he lashed the white mass onto the beast's back, and together they marched off to the breakers of the bodies. The place was a desolate stretch of land dotted with huge boulders, and containing one large level stone slab, large enough to hold the biggest body. Slab had holes in it to half its depth. The body would be placed upon the slab and the cloth stripped off, tied to the four posts. Then the headbreaker would take his long knife and slit open the body. Long gashes would be made so that the flesh could be peeled off in strips. Theatres at an open-air theatre, presumptuous one to land before the leaders would result in a merciless mobbing. Go would have the trunk of the corpse open out the heart, at sight of which the senior vulture would flap heavily to the ground and waddle forward to take the heart from the breaker's outstretched hand. Would a bird would flap down to take the liver and with it would retire to a rock to eat. Intestines would be divided and given to the leader birds, then the strips of flesh would be cut up and given to the others. One bird would come back for half the brain and perhaps one eye, and another would come flapping down for yet another tasty morsel. In a surprisingly short time all the organs and flesh would have been eaten, leaving nothing but the bare bones remaining on the slab. Snap these into convenient sizes, like firewood, and would stuff them into the holes in the other slab. Be used to crush the bones to a fine powder. Eat that. And for their own satisfaction they examined all the organs to determine the cause of death. It enabled them to do this with remarkable ease. And why they should be so interested, but it was a matter of tradition to ascertain the illness causing the spirit to depart from this vehicle. Quickly or deliberately, the fact soon became obvious. Certainly I found their skill of great benefit to me as I studied with them. Secting dead bodies, Honorable Lama has died from a stoppage of blood to the heart at this artery, here, and, yes, here is a clot blocking the blood flow. Or it may be, now this woman, Honorable Lama, she has a peculiar look on. The men were proud to show me all they could. They knew I was studying with them by direct order of the inmost one. If I was not there, and a body looked as if it was particularly interesting, they would save it until I arrived. Penitently I excelled at surgery later, and whereby medical students have to share cadavers in hospital school dissecting rooms. School later, because of the rocky soil and economic grounds, wood is scarce, and to burn a body, timber would have to be imported from India and carried to Tibet across the mountains on the backs of yaks. Into the streams and rivers would pollute the drinking water of the living. There's only from Western method into ways. Westerners bury bodies and let the worms take the place of birds. In world the knowledge of the cause of death is buried with the body, and no one knows if the death certificate really has stated the correct cause. Cause make sure that they know what a person died of. Everyone who dies in Tibet is disposed of in this way except the highest lamas, who are previous incarnations. Glass-fronted box where they can be seen in a temple, or embalmed and covered with gold. Such preparations many times. Certain Americans who have read my notes on the subject cannot believe that we really use gold. They say that it would be beyond even an American skill. Things, but dealt with individual items as only the craftsman could. For a dollar, but we can cover bodies in gold. Presence of the abbot. His body. Now he is at the rose fence. I want you to be there so that you can observe the preserving in sacredness. So once again I had to face the hardships of the saddle and journey to Sura. At that lamasery I was shown to the room of the old abbot. An hour later he passed from the body to the spirit. Being an abbot, and an erudite man, he had no need to be shown the path through the Bardo. All lamas kept their death watch. Rebuilding into the temple, and through a little used door down to secret passages below. Ahead of me two lamas were carrying the body on a litter. In a deep chanting and, in the silences, the drill of a silver bell. Of them our yellow stoles. On the walls our shadows were thrown in flickering, dancing, exaggerated and distorted by the light of the butter lamps and flaring torches. Down we went, down into secret places. At last, some 50 or 60, we arrived at a sealed stone door. We entered. The room was ice cold. The monks carefully set down the body, and then all departed except three lamas and I. Now the body was stripped of its vestments and carefully washed. Through the normal body orifices, the internal organs were removed and placed into jars which were carefully sealed and dried, and a special form of lacquer was poured into it which would form a hard crust inside the body, so that the outlines would be as in life and hard. The body cavity was packed and padded with great care so as not to disturb the shape, saturate the padding and, in hardening, to provide a solid interior. The surface of the body was painted with lacquer and allowed to dry. Peeling solution was added, so that the thin sheets of filmy silk which were now to be pasted on, could later be removed without causing harm. It. More lacquer, of a different type, was poured on, and the body was now ready for the next stage of the preparations. For a day and a night it was allowed to remain stationary so that final and complete drying could take place. We returned to the room to find the body quite hard and rigid and in the lotus position. The room beneath, which was a furnace so built that the flames and heat could circulate outside the walls of this room and so provide an even and high temperature. And in this, in the center, we placed the body. Minerals filed out of the corridor, and the door of the room was closed and sealed with the seal of the Lamasery. The order to light the furnaces was given. Sizzling of burning butter as the flames spread. Sizz well alight, they would continue to burn yak dung and waste butter. For a whole week the fire raged down below, sending clouds of hot air through the hollow walls of the embalming chamber. No more fuel was added, or the corridor became cool enough to enter. For 3 days all was still as we all waited for the room to reach the normal temperature. The great seal was broken and the door pushed open. Scraped out the hardened compound with their hands. No tools were used in case the body was harmed. The friable salt compound. At last the room was empty, except for the shrouded body sitting so still in the center, still in the lotus attitude. Perfect, except that it was much darker. The body might have been that of a sleeping man, who might at any time awaken. The contours were as in life and there was no shrinkage. Dead flesh with gold. Slowly they worked, layer upon layer of the thinnest, softest gold. Gold worth a fortune outside Tibet, but here valued only as a sacred metal, a metal that was incorruptible, and so symbolic of man's final spirit state, exact as in life, with every line and wrinkle reproduced. Heavy with its gold, was carried to the Hall of Incarnations and, like the others there, set up on a gold throne. Dating back to the earliest times, sitting in rows, like solemn judges, watching with half-closed eyes the frailties and failings of the present generation of the living dead. To one body in particular I was attracted. Some strange power held me fascinated before it. There was a gentle touch on my arm, and I nearly dropped with fright. That was you, Lobsang, in your last incarnation. Figure and remarked, and that was I. Silently, both much moved, we crept from the hall and the door was sealed behind us. Clad figures. Sometimes I went alone and sat in meditation before them. Each has its written history, which I studied with the greatest interest. Here was the history of my present guide, the Lama Minya Dondup, the story of what he had done in the past, a summary of his character and his abilities, the dignities and honors conferred upon him, the manner of his passing. Here also was my past history and that, too, I studied with my full attention. 98 gold figures sat here in the hall, in the hidden chamber carved from the rock, and with the well-concealed door. After 17 final initiate had seen the embalming some half dozen times, I was one day sent for by the abbot in charge of Chakpurai, said he, on the direct order of the precious one you are to be initiated as an abbot. The recognized incarnation, I had again the status with which I left the earth some 600 years before. The wheel of life had revolved full circle. Some time in my room and told me that now I must undergo the ceremony of the little death. Until you have passed the gateway of death, and returned, you cannot truly know that there is no death. Your studies in astral traveling have taken you far, take you much farther, beyond the realms of life, and into the past of our country. Preparatory training was hard and prolonged. My daily menu adjured to keep my thoughts on that alone which is pure and holy. Even Tsampa and tea had to be taken in less quantity. Rigid austerity, strict discipline, and long, long hours of meditation. Now right, the portents were favorable. 4 hours I fasted until I felt as empty as a temple drum. Down those hidden stairs and passages far below the Potala, solid rock confronted us. But a whole boulder was swung aside at our approach. Another path confronted us, a dark and narrow path with the odor of stale air, spices, and incense. Several yards farther on we were stopped momentarily by a ponderous gold-sheathed door which was slowly opened to the accompaniment of protesting squeaks which echoed and re-echoed as if through a vast space temple carved from the solid rock by volcanic action in days long past.